Oh, the COMEX is going to collapse.
They now have to keep printing or we crash.
We've got this ticking time bomb.
Talking gold with the one and only Andrew Maguire.
Welcome to Live from the Vault.
Welcome to Live from the Vault. My name is Shane Moran, and I'll be your host for this episode. And from the entire Live from the Vault team worldwide, we want to thank you for your continued support. And as you can imagine, this community keeps growing more and more every single week. And there's a lot to talk about during these historic times. And Andrew Maguire is in the house with a longtime friend of Live from the Vault, the one and only Mr. Craig Hemke, and we'll be talking gold. This is going to be an amazing episode, and you won't want to miss a word right here. You know, Live from the Vault gives you access to information and updates that you just can't get anywhere else, and this episode is no exception. So just before we head over to talking gold with Andrew Maguire and our special guest, Craig Hemke, we want to hear from you. We want to know who you'd like to see as a special guest on Live from the Vault. So all you got to do to have your say is click the link down below in the description and head over to our Twitter and simply reply to the tweet by tagging your favorite dream Live from the Vault guest, and we'll keep a close eye on the results. So with that, let me introduce our special guest, Mr. Craig Hemke. Since 2010, he's been the editor and publisher of the TF Metals Report, found at tfmetalsreport.com. It's an online community for precious metals investors. And if you haven't checked out the report, we'll leave a link below. So check it out at Craig's TF Metals Report. It's tfmetalsreport.com. And I just wanted to make a special note here. You know, Craig and Kinesis collaborated on a video, and it's called The Biggest Gold and Silver Swindle of All Time. It's an amazing video, and it'll make you laugh, and it's also teaching a lot of people. It's got over 830,000 views. We want you to head over there later on and view that video if you haven't already seen it, because we want to get it up to a million. And so that with that, let's head over to the UK and talking gold with the one and only Andrew Maguire and one of our favorite guests, Mr. Craig Hemke.
Well, thanks, Shane, for the introduction. And guess who is with us today? Unmistakable Craig. How are you doing, my friend?
Andy, I think it's awesome. We're wearing like the team jersey today.
Hey, good taste, my friend.
That's right. Our mother always used to dress us alike back in the day. So I think that's kind of fun that we've continued this. Since we're technically brothers from another mother, I think it's fun.
That's right. And look at the gray all coming. Hey.
Hey.
We're on the ball. And
Come on now.
Before we start, because by crikey have I been looking forward to you coming on. let's please remember that there was 830-something thousand views to your your piece on, well, double ownership of a Wall Street, of the corruption around Wall Street, and this wonderful little thing. I want to refresh everyone to it, and believe me, I'm going to get this out to some friends out in Hollywood. We want to get you up to a million views, and by crikey, that's going to really make some people that pay attention.
Says right here, I own a car. No, sorry, it also says in the fine print, we can get you a car in 60, 90 days if you ever need one. Well, then word starts to spread, right? And everybody else that thinks they own the car, they all show up at the garage wanting that car. Well, now, the only person that's getting the car is the first person that showed up and demanded it. And it ain't coming back. The other 99 people are out of luck, right? The garage operators hightail it out of town. Doors are locked. That's what an unallocated account is.
Well, folks, I mean, that was a little refresh. And really, please send that out to everyone, because it says an awful lot. In fact, hey, this is Groundhog Day. We're back to the same thing all over again. Craig, my friend, tell us what you're seeing, because I just read something, 3 days ago, where you predicted... today is Wednesday, Thursday, GDP day. Hey, what did you say was going to happen? What did you say?
Well, back to that video real quick, Andy. Yeah, that was a year and a half ago, maybe, we recorded that. I was actually sitting in my father-in-law's office when we recorded that. That it's pushing toward a million views, I think, is just awesome. And everybody should know. I mean, not all of that stuff that we talked about and that great production you guys put together, it's all still relevant. None of that has changed. I mean, every ounce of gold is still owned by 100 different people or however many owners there are. And is that unwinding of that scheme that eventually will end this pricing structure and we'll finally get to see what a true price for gold and silver really are based off just the physical amount of metal that's out there. But anyway, I digress. You know, I think we could actually go back, Andy, to the summer of 2020 when COVID was still raging and there was not a, there weren't any vaccines yet. There were, you know, and everybody was trying to figure out what was going on. The Fed was just printing like crazy. And it became pretty clear back then, and I started writing on my site back then, that the ultimate outcome of all this would be stagflation. The flation part we've obviously seen, and that was predictable, just when you print trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. And this time, rather than just simply being monetizing of debt and mortgage-backed securities, this was actual cash that was flooding out into the economy, you know, in stimmy checks and other things from the government, you know, to keep people afloat through the downturn. But then you also had the stag part, which was also as predictable because there was no way the U.S. economy was going to go back to what it had been. Too many, I mean, just think of any one company that maybe used to have 100 employees, all of them working on site in 2019. Then in 2020, they find a whole different way of doing things. And they decide, well, maybe we don't need this much office space. We got by just fine with half of our people working from home. And we don't maybe need all these employees either. But either way, you know, they can downsize their office space, which makes a glut of office space, which makes, you know, that, and, you know, that's just one little way that all this kind of trickles down and creates the stagnant part. So you have this big rush back, which, you know, the administration in the U.S. want to take credit for. Oh, look at all the jobs we're creating. Well, yeah, from after losing 20 million or whatever it was. So you get kind of back, but now you've reached that stagnant part. And that Atlanta Fed model has been run by a guy by the name of Pat Higgins for years. And he's always done a pretty good job. And so it, you know, was pretty predictable that second quarter GDP was going to be negative. And here we are. And now the most important thing of the week was what Powell told us Wednesday, all in about 15 seconds, Andy. I mean, you know, he blathered on for 45 minutes. The most important part was in 15 seconds where he said, we have reached the neutral rate. We have worked hard to get to the neutral rate, which means, oh, okay, they're there at, you know, 2.25%. And then further he said, and whether we go, what we do from here going forward will be data dependent. It's no longer 50-50-50, you know, laid all out. And he said that in 15 seconds, and that's when the dollar fell, the metal shot forward, and now maybe we finally set a spark of some short covering that can turn into an actual rally.
Well, it was interesting that you predicted that, as you say, a long time ago, but as late as this week when you did the Sprott piece and said, you watch, basically, it's going to be a miss. And what do we have today? We have this, that's the second quarter of GDP contraction. What does that tell us? I mean, that's a technical recession already, isn't it?
Right. And they can deny it. I mean, Powell doesn't want to take the blame. All the politicians don't want to take the blame. But if they deny it, they're only going to make it worse. If Powell, you know, plants his flag in the ground and says, no, there's not a recession and we're just going to keep on hiking, well, then we're going to tip over into a very severe recession. You know, if mortgage rates go to 6%, 8%, something like that. Or they can accept the reality, which is what they'll do, and Powell will stop hiking. They'll never get the Fed funds rate above the rate of inflation. We'll have stagflation, but more importantly, we'll have kind of an entrenched negative real interest rates with rising inflation expectations, and that's a very positive setup for gold, even in this current pricing scheme. That'll drive the algos, the hedge funds, to buy gold futures. And so we're very likely we've seen the lows. And that's kind of what we thought would happen this year. We'd come here in the summertime. It's a little later in the summer and a little deeper than I thought we'd get. But But the rationale for things to recover now and move into 23 is sound, and we're certainly headed that direction.
And by crikey, of course, insiders already knew this was going to be a miss. That, of course, Powell knew the data yesterday when he spoke.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty obvious, quite clearly. Inside of the agents that act for the Fed also really pretty much had the data. And so really what we've had in the meantime is essentially this situation where, and I'm sure, and I know you've been tracking this as much as we have, where we have the House beyond historically what we've ever seen long against the speculators. And the last time was in May 2019, was the closest this has come. But even then, even looking at last week's data, when there was something like 137,000 net short contracts for the swap dealers and the producer merchants, mm-hmm. and then that was down to 112. And then by the time we got through to the lows, under 100, I mean, when have we ever seen, and have you, I mean, this must be all over your network, that this structure has never been so bullish. And then we end up yesterday and into options expiry. And guess what these stupid speculators did? They exercised into an expiring August contract, knowing the insiders knowing they will not be able to deliver. They came in as the put call structure was beyond a joke. So they took these short positions and today disruptively rinsed. And here we go again on the upside this time.
Here we go again. Yeah, no, you're right, Andy. The COT structure, particularly in silver, gold is very strong too. We're going to get a report on Friday that's, that was surveyed Tuesday, 2 days ago as we record this. And at that point, where the Fed was still in their meeting, for that most recent week, silver was down another 1% and open interest was up another 4,000 contracts. And so when people see that COT report today, they're going to see not only are the large specs in that broader category net short for the first time in whatever it is, 3 or 4 years, but the hedge fund, if you break it down internally, just the hedge fund specifically, which were already net short like 14,000 contracts last week, probably be net short 17 or 18. Yeah. And so what we've seen since Wednesday when Powell uttered those two lines I mentioned earlier is undoubtedly short covering. You know, it's like, oh boy. And that's why you get the spike. I mean, silver's up a dollar as we speak here on Thursday. And that's how these rallies from these deeply oversold conditions, they always start that way. Everybody gets on one side of the boat. And then all of a sudden, you get a short covering rally. And then the thing kind of starts to feed on itself. What's interesting, Andy, is the sentiment is so bad. And I suppose it's kind of human nature that people think it'll never get better. And all we're talking about is just the opposite of what you and I have preached against for years when everybody's on the long side of the boat, you know, and everybody's excited and the banks have issued all these new contracts and suddenly they're net short 50, 60, 80,000 contracts. And we're like, oh boy. And then here, you know, all of a sudden the momentum tips over and the speculators start to dump and the banks start to be able to buy back and down we go. Well, now this is what we're in the early stages of is just the opposite. And so why anybody would think, you know, if the banks always win when price gets overextended and they're short, why would anybody not expect the banks to win when price is oversold and the banks are long, right? This isn't complicated. So the question then becomes, can we then build on this rally? And I really think we will. This is exactly, this type of Fed pivot is exactly what I was projecting. And I know you know this. I write this annual report, a macro cast, I call it, every January. And this is exactly what we were projecting as we got into the middle part of the year, was that the Fed would have to shift gears. They'd be forced to for all of these same reasons, recession, stock market collapse, everything else. And now, you know, once the curtain gets pulled back every couple of years and everybody realizes the Fed is trapped and really there's no end to ever this, that's when gold surges and silver too in the miners. I mean, I don't want to commandeer the mic here and just rattle on like I'm recording a podcast, but I'd be happy to give you some data, you know, and talk about if that's a direction you want to go.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So here's the metaphor I came up with a couple of weeks ago, and I think it's valid, and I think it explains it well. It just came to me on the fly. I've been using it ever since. Is like a train leaving the station. Okay, the QE train started chugging forward in March of 2009. Right, it was one off. Andy Bernanke assured us we're never going to do this again. You know, whatever. Okay, and each subsequent QE program has been larger. You know, QE 1 and 2 were like 600 to 700 billion, and QE 3 in 2012 was 1 point some odd trillion. And then what's the most recent one? 6 trillion, you know, whatever the hell it was. And so think of that train leaving the station. And so every once in a while, you know, Powell or Bernanke or Mother Yellen are running along, and then they try to slow down their pace of running along with it. Then all they have to run even faster to catch back up, because that train is accelerating the way the debt and the deficits are accelerating exponentially. So the train keeps going faster. And so every time you try to slow down, you've got to run even faster to catch back up. And that's why when they open the floodgates again, when they turn QE back on, it's not going to be, you know, 5 trillion next time, it'll be 8. And so as that curtain gets, pulled back, that's why gold rallies, you know, and that's just the last three times. And in the beginning of 2016, the economy started to pull back. When I came over to Europe and we got together and had a few laughs, that in that summer of 16, the Fed was trying to deny the economy was slowing then. And gold had gone from 1050 to 1350. It was like 30%. Then at the end of 18, same old jazz, right? Oh, yeah, well, we're going to be hiking rates all through 19. And the stock market started to collapse and all that stuff. And the Powell pivot number one came. And gold went up 30% again in about 8 months. The most recent time we had this happen was just in 2020. And gold went up like 50% in 6 months with QE, you know, the QE to infinity program. So as hard as that is to believe, it is precedent that it could, you know, harder to believe that it would happen again. Here we are. So what would a 30 or 40% rally in gold do from here? Well, I don't know, 2,300, 2,500. Most people listening to us are probably not that optimistic. But like I said, it's how it's worked the last three times. So why wouldn't it happen again?
Well, every single instance you just mentioned there, it really crystallizes in the mind, because by no coincidence, at each of those points, the house was on the wrong side, on the right side of that trade, and the specs were on the wrong side, but not to the degree we saw in March 2019.
Right.
And this exceeds all of those situations. So all the things you've just said are every reason in the world why gold should do what it says on the box. It has to rise and rally. But to the degree... we've never seen, this is what blows my mind, we've never seen the house this long and the specs this wrong-footed. And the muscle memory that they keep selling into every rally has really milked every single piece of open interest out of these guys. They are so wrong-footed. And Craig, I imagine that you went berserk when back in March, we started seeing a four-month sell-off. Back in March, into a price rise, when silver was threatening to break out again above that magic 30 number, the CME comes out and issues a margin reduction. I mean, that is beyond manipulative. I mean, in all of the history, we've never seen a margin decrease into a price rise. It makes no sense. So you couldn't argue volatility, you couldn't argue anything. That was really empowering to create enough short interest to actually bang it back down. And we've seen 4 months of selling. And in May 2019, when we saw this similar setup, but even not even as bullish, we had a four-month rally. Silver rose $5 without almost any pullbacks. Gold rose $300 without almost any pullbacks. And I think that's probably what we really should anticipate.
Exactly. And again, it's not any different from the most recent periods. And again, if you think the banks always win when they're short, why wouldn't you expect the banks to win when they're long? But, you know, Andy, what's fascinating as kind of a backdrop to all this is the physical supply. You know, it's like Rick Rule's old, I guess, metaphor or whatever, where he always used to say, you know, the cure to lower prices is lower prices. And with, you know, costs going through the roof and miners kind of starting to cut back production at the same time, you know, demand is seemingly surging, not just even for the precious metals. So, hey, I want to interview you for just a second, if I can, because you're the expert in what goes on over there across the pond from where I am. I saw something from our old friend Ronan Manley, who said the lowest LBMA silver stocks since 2016. And we know, you know, the games that the LME has been playing with copper and nickel and aluminium, as you guys like to say. Yes. Or maybe that's just Alistair McLeod that says that. But anyway,
that's right.
What are you hearing from? I mean, it's not at a crisis level. And believe me, I'm not sitting there going, oh, the COMEX is going to collapse. We've learned, you know, that's, you can't play that game. But, we know that everything's hyper leveraged. And I just thought that was interesting that those levels have gotten that low. Have you heard interesting things over there?
Yeah, absolutely. And the Indian market has gone berserk, absolutely
right.
Berserk. And of course, that goes against what the World Gold Council seems to say. Oh, well, it's down. And then the next month you find, oh, record. We've been seeing huge Indian demand. And when you think about it, I mean, why not? When you can literally go to you can buy a physical ounce to the degree you could even buy one, to the limit you can buy one. And then you go straight on to buy oil for a 30% discount and put the oil back on the market. Hey, come on. Of course this trade's going on. And we've mentioned in the past, smuggling has tripled from the 30 tons a month that the World Gold Council says. We think it's over 100. But you just mentioned silver and essentially the nickel thing. Yeah, and I think this whole March thing down to now is really for JP Morgan has exited the base metals liquidity as a base metals liquidity provider, Standard Chartered. These guys want to escape. They want to disappear. And our word is they want to get their silver back. JP Morgan wants to get its silver back before it goes nickel. And we think every single instance since March has been to get these OCC, these bets that are sitting on the OCC report, which are over-the-counter positions, which were just like nickel, are going to blow. And it's just a question of how fast can they get the price down enough to actually exit these positions and get their silver back. That's kind of what we're seeing, Craig.
Yeah, you know, and Ted Butler has always said, well, the next time the banks don't short, wow, which has just been a losing game because, of course, the banks have shorted every rally forever. Mm-hmm. But maybe, like you said, after what happened in nickel back in March, and with everything else that's going on, with the trial of the JP Morgan guys, most notably that Michael Nowak, former head of global precious metals trading for them and on the LBMA.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah, we could talk about that for hours, couldn't we? Anyway, what if that's maybe the, you know, that now there's only becomes one short, you know, whether it's Bank of America or somebody, and you hook, maybe just one bank on the short side while everybody else covers, gets their metal back, whatever. And then when the thing blows up, there's only really one entity that needs to be bailed out. I don't know. But there's certainly curious delivery patterns. Andy, I just wrote about this morning on my site. I write something every morning for the members. And the July gold, as you know, is not a delivery month, right? August is. And then we kind of skip over October and go to December. Well, anyway, July gold, there was 1,011 contracts standing when that contract went off the board on June 28th. There were 9,600 total deliveries, which is mind-blowing. Now, I tracked it every day, and I saw Bank of America show up in two big tranches to sell about 4,000 of those 9,000. But regardless, I mean, that's an unprecedented activity, delivery demand, shuffling of warrants and such on the COMEX. And so, I just wonder, with, you know, with your fingers on the pulse there in London, boy, people ought to be, well, I'm sure you'll keep everybody posted. If, you know, for everybody watching us today, man, if you're not liking and subscribing to the Kinesis channel so that you're notified every week when Andy puts one of these videos out, and if you're not watching it every week, you're going to be missing out on some vital information going forward.
And here you are giving us that exactly. You know, it's so good because we need all the pieces of the jigsaw. And I focus, you know, insanely on one area. You are focused on a different picture as well. You've got a much bigger US-centric view than I do as well. And I think, you know, you've just nailed some stuff here. I mean, this thing has, we're in a position where it's going to blow. And I think what you've just mentioned is, for example, you see Bank of America closing out, basically, would you say they were closing out shorts? Yeah?
The house account of Bank of America had been stopping gold contracts all year long, yeah, and not issuing any. And then all of a sudden they showed up with two big tranches of totaling over 4,000 contracts that they sold. It appeared to be selling because they were issuing.
Interesting.
In July. And it's like, I don't know. And again, it came from nowhere. So I don't know why they would be dumping at the bottom and what they'd be trying to do. But there were buyers, most of them in the JP Morgan customer category. The main thing is just the volume. I mean, July in the past would be like, if it even got to 900 contracts, you know, that was a historical, scenario, 10 times that. I don't know, between that and everything that's going on in London and all the stuff we saw in the base metals on the LME, I don't know, I just, you know, that video you showed at the beginning of this about the hyper leverage and the multiple owners of the same ounce, and all it takes is one bit of bank run and fear to set the whole thing in motion. I just wonder if maybe we're not a little closer than we think.
I think I had missed what you just said, and it suddenly makes sense because they are basically, what they're doing, clearly, I know that they're trying to cover their over-the-counter positions, their OCC positions, which are over-the-counter positions before it goes nickel. So they're hedged paper to paper on the COMEX. It would make sense that they're dumping those to free up the other. And you, as you say, Manley came out with some great information about, I hadn't noticed quite the degree of the low inventories in silver that have been flowing out of the SLV. But I think, Craig, what blew my mind, and I said in a last episode, previous episode, I said, mark on your calendar July the 6th. It's the day the silver market broke, because what happened then was, and we've been in backwardation, as you know, so for months.
Right, right.
But it went, the price of COMEX silver went to, this is the September contract, went to a $1,400 discount to spot. And so, of course, it's telling us this market's broken. If you are, the only function for the COMEX is to provide a regulated hedging mechanism. So if you have a spot price for immediate delivery that is $1,400 a contract per contract cheaper, then you have just broken there is no way you can hedge that. So you can no longer use the COMEX as a hedging mechanism because it's the wrong way. It should be a contango. You should be able to short against a higher price. So now you've got the complete inverse, which tells us this flow is coming to settle this bloody position. And I'm quite convinced of it. You cannot possibly, and we're still looking at 500, 750, not below 500 a contract cheaper in all this time into this September contract. Wild.
It's even been higher, Andy. I saw that from the September contract to spot this week, as much as 12 to 14 cents. And that should, as you said, that should never happen. Remember the opposite happened back in March of 2020 in February, after the banks had absolutely, they'd blown open interest up to like 800,000 contracts in gold, and they were doing 20 and 30,000 EFPs a day, trying to play the spread between spot and futures and arbing it back and forth and just scamming each other. And then the whole thing just exploded. And then the opposite happened, where maybe it was the April gold was, or the June gold was trading like $100 above spot for a couple of days.
Per ounce in tonnage.
Yeah. And no ARBs came in to close it because they didn't trust each other. Nobody knew, you know, they're, okay, well, I'll sell this, but that means I'll sell the future. That means I got to deliver, but I don't trust you to deliver at the spot that I'm buying. And so it remained. Well, now it's the opposite. Because the SEP silver does, I mean, if it was 1-2 days before the SEP goes off the board, well, you might get that little bit of backwardation. But this has been going on, like you said, since SEP became the front month in early July. And it's been 7 cents, like you were pointing out, or it could be 8, 9, 10, 12 cents. And it's not being closed, which means, again, the main banks are unwilling to buy the future and sell the spot. Well, why would you not be willing to sell the spot if you weren't willing to part with your metal, right?
And think of the liability you've put yourself into. So
yeah,
you know that the contango is usually 17 to 20 cents on a contract. When it comes off, 17 to 20 cents. So you're now, and it was up to 28 cents at one point, when you account for the forward carrying costs, as you say, 13, 14, 15 cents, then the carry costs, because this was right at the beginning of the contract. And what happens is that now, as you say, you're reverting from a, including forward costs, 28 cents down from minus to a 28 cents plus, you could be losing $2,500 to $3,000 a contract. So why would you enter this clearly broken mechanism? So you go somewhere else. There's physical exchanges globally. And you can go, and I know where I can go and hedge my silver. I know exactly where, into physical exchanges. The COMEX is dead. It's broken. It is finished.
Yes. Yeah. And again, this is an evolution toward a more proper and fair pricing scheme. And all of these, you know, the nickel situation, you know, what almost took place in palladium. I mean, we could count all kinds of examples. How about crude oil going to negative $20 or whatever it was back in April of 2020? Got all these examples that are now in people's minds about what a scam so much of this is. And as it unwinds, it's just all these different cuts cutting into the confidence of people that want to play along in the scheme. I mean, again, think of, because that's what it is. It's a confidence scheme, which is how, that's what a con game, that's what the con part is. It's just short for confidence. And if you are, say you're Stanley Druckenmiller, right? Big, brutally, you know, intelligent Stanley Druckenmiller. He owns gold. What was he? He owns a GLD, for God's sake. Now, maybe Stan is, you know, well enough connected that he can convince one of those authorized participant bullion banks to actually deliver some of the gold out to him when the push comes to shove. But that's Stan. Think of all the other people that think they own physical metal through one of those unallocated accounts or one of these ETFs or whatever, that when the push comes to shove and the confidence scheme runs out, they're going to find out they don't own jack. And that's, you know, and that's when, you know, the craziness really begins. And so all of these different new global exchanges, India is starting one. Yeah, I mean, obviously I know about the ones in Africa and other places around the world, the stuff that the BRICS countries are doing to create, you know, an alternative structure to the dollar. All of these different things are putting this incredible stress on the system. And that's why, I don't know, Andy, this has been a really tough 100 days. And no fun doing what I do, writing and talking about it every day. But I just can't imagine that this isn't all playing out the way you and I have discussed now for nearly a decade. And so, you know, if they want to take silver down to 17, sign up for Kinesis, buy yourself some at pretty close to spot, and just take advantage of it, because it ain't going to stay at 17. I mean, that's the main thing. Use it to your advantage. Don't be scared and frightened and, oh, no, it's going to go to 16. understand what the situation is. Understand how we got here. Understand where we're going. And then, you know, as we've always said, prepare accordingly. Buy yourself some metal.
And as you've just raised a couple of really very true things. In fact, tomorrow, which is Friday, and of course we're recording this before, ahead of time, because you also follow mine, but essentially I spilt the beans on a client who, very large client, who went to GLD on when the price on the 17th, I think it was, anyway, it was when we hit the lows, that day we hit the lows, I think it was the 27th. And whatever it was 1705. This is what's burned in my mind. The spot price was 1705.30. So he went to redeem a share basket of 100,000 shares.
Right. At good luck.
That price. And was told, no, we need to cash settle you on that. He said, no, yeah, I want the physical. Jack. Right. So we actually spilt the beans on that. So what we did was say, okay, take the cash, and we EFP'd it. And he immediately took delivery because the spot market in the UK is now Basel III compliant. So the minute that it exits this non-compliant GLD, which doesn't have to be Basel III compliant, clearly, and then it comes out, EFP'd out, and that brings me to the subject of EFPs. 53 tons on the 18th went out. How many tons have exited this month in gold? How many tons in silver? You track this.
Yeah, I've been tracking those EFPs for 4 or 5 years now. The amount of contracts off the COMEX, I haven't added it up recently. It's in a couple million, 3 million in the last four. I mean, think of how many, 3 million is 300 million ounces? Yeah. I mean, from where? I mean, seriously, I mean, there's how many people are accepting warrants, you know, and that sort of thing. Again, this is just all part of, the last thing, my old line is, Andy, and I know I've said this to you often, you know, you don't want to go around predicting the end of the world because you're only going to be right once, you know. And I remember when I first got into this back in about 2010, and I started reading about the COMEX and, oh, the COMEX is going to collapse. And I kind of played along for a little while. Then I realized, you know, they can keep these plates spinning until, there's just going to be finally a moment when it breaks. And so you can't take all this data and go, okay, so therefore I'm going to buy some October calls because, man, it's really going to happen in the next couple of weeks. That's foolish. What you do, though, is you recognize what it is and what is going on, whether it's macroeconomically and all that, you know, and everything and how that's going to drive price, or just the scam of the fraud of the pricing scheme. And you go, okay, I'll kind of use that to my advantage and I'll accumulate over time. It's like that, the dude, Michael Burry, right? In The Big Short.
Yeah.
Remember we always said, Andy, when they make a movie about all this crap, we were going to get like George Clooney to play me. And then we were going to get like George Burns to play you. He's dead. But anyway, when they make a movie about all this stuff, it's a very similar situation. I mean, all of us in the precious metals, just like those dudes back in, 2006 and 2007, looked at an unsustainable situation and said, what do we miss? Why doesn't everybody see this? Well, that's because everybody's distracted by the little flashing lights, you know, and the blinkers over here and the easy cash and 20% yield on some altcoin scam, you know, all that kind of stuff. Everybody's distracted. While we recognize the math, we know that this is unsustainable, and we just wait. And we're right. You just have to again, it'll come to us, just like it came to Burry and all those other dudes in that movie. It'll come to us, too. And maybe George Clooney is now too old to play me. I might have to get somebody else. anyway.
But, you know, you just nailed it. I mean, what we're saying is, what's right about everything that we're saying and Alistair MacLeod saying, what we're all saying here is, it's about educating people to remember it's about physical. And if you buy the physical, it doesn't matter what happens to the price. You're not going to sell that physical. And if you're a trader and you're getting sucked in into the COMEX, you better watch your margin very, very closely, because the bigger it is, the more they'll target it. They will know where your positions are. As you say, you put enough options positions in place, that's going to get rinsed. One way or the other, it'll get rinsed. Maybe 3 o'clock in the morning, it'll get rinsed. So every single time that you I know, have said, get physical, get physical, get physical. You've been right.
Right.
Of course. It doesn't matter what the price is.
It's the only option. And you've got to do it. And that's, again, what there are Kinesis and other ways you can get close to spot. You know, there's no sense paying $40 for a silver eagle, which I think there's some out there just because there aren't any silver eagles, which tells you another sign that should tell you something.
Really?
You just got to get your hands on it. And again, it is your protection. It's your lifeboat. You can fiddle around. I mean, that's all part of, I mean, what I do at my site, we monitor price every day for anybody that wants to try to trade. And God knows every once in a while, I'll wander into the casino with a call or something if I think the timing is right. And believe me, I don't bat 1,000. I bought I still own a $21 September silver call that I bought a month ago that now has a chance at least. But I didn't see July coming the way it did. So we can still talk about that. But again, what I've turned my focus to over the years is more of this macro stuff, because the day-to-day stuff will just absolutely, it'll make you depressed. It'll make you frustrated. It'll make you turn away from the exact stuff, gold and silver, that you've got to have. You've got to have physical metal. And if you're trying to trade it, you know, you'll just throw up your hands and say, oh, and walk off and give up. And that's the last thing I want people to do. So we talk a lot more about just the macro and the preparation for what's coming. And that's what people need to understand. You know, yeah, this is just, it's just been brutal these last 100 days. But it's all in preparation for what's coming next. And I think, again, with this short covering rally that's begun, that's just the little spark we needed to turn things and get things going higher again.
Hey, you know, it's psyops, isn't it? It's the psychological operations. And if you can run the casino, then fine. You can definitely trick enough people to take those chips and play them. And 95% of the time, the house will win. And 5%, just enough to keep you going, the speculators. And that's how casinos win, right? So, but you can have fun in a casino, but you're certainly not going to have fun playing in their little sandpit, because it is so siloed. And again, we know that all U.S. citizens, I had to get rid of all my U.S. citizens in 2013 because they were no longer allowed to trade the over-the-counter markets, i.e. the cash settled markets had to be siloed into this casino where the windows, the doors are shut, the windows are shut, the oxygen's there. And hey, you don't have to know what's going on in Russia. You don't have to know if there's any supply demand. You can chase that little dot down to zero.
Yeah,
it's called silver, but you can chase it to zero. By the way, we'll take the other side.
At least in Vegas, you can get loaded while you're doing it, you know, and it eases some of the sting. Yeah. This is just, you know, this is just pull your hair out stuff. But, you know, even that said, I suppose, you know, for the casino gamblers, they'll come rushing in as silver moves back into the 20s and gets above the 50-day moving average, and then, you know, gets above the 200-day moving average, and all, and that's fine. I mean, that derivative, the future contract, is what drives the price. So as those hedge funds go from 14,000 net short to 40,000 net long in the weeks and months ahead, you know, you can probably play along with them if you want. But the key to ending the scheme and finding what the true price is physical delivery. Get the metal out of the system into a place like Kinesis or into your own vault at the bottom of a lake, whatever it is. Take it away from them. Every ounce that you take out of the system takes away maybe their ability to leverage 50 ounces against it. So buy the physical, take advantage of the sale price. Understand that the math is the math. And eventually, though it takes, you know, it's taken a lot longer maybe than we thought it would be, none of that has changed. And things are still moving in our direction. In fact, maybe probably moving faster than they ever have.
I mean, that is sage advice. I mean, what else does one need to know? I mean, we all know this is a manipulated market. We all know that as this it is breaking. And we've seen evidences of it. You can't have those length of backwardations where the market is broken away from a more physical, liquidity is flowing into physical exchanges. So less and less of the open interest can go to a speculator who are wising up to the likes of GLD. In fact, just very, very quickly, you remember, I know you remember. Do you remember that day Bob Zani walked in, CNBC blacked his ears, cell phones, hand them away, you know, blacked out vehicle, come on in. And he picks up a bar and it didn't belong to GLD. And they were touting GLD. Do you remember Ned? Of course, we know Ned. He's a good friend. Ned Naylor there just happened to have ETF securities coming in the next day and saying, hey, you know what? Hey, how about investing in our ETF? And he says, oh, I'm a bit worried about that because did you see this clip? And they look at the clip and they go, holy shit, that's our bar. And that's the first time they knew somebody had gone in, taken their bar, handled it. Talk about, I mean, the worst you can say is what kind of vault management systems have they got if they are mixing other people's bars? Who the hell knows what's going on in GLD?
But so at the end of the day, people need to realize that you either own metal in something like Kinesis or you own it in one of the high quality ETFs or you own it in your own two hands or you don't. And you don't want to be, you know, the last guy showing up, you know, at the garage wanting to drive off in the car that you think you own that the first person that showed up, you know, is the one that got it. And I just can't, man, I hate to sound like a broken record, Andy, but I just can't emphasize this enough. And people might be sitting there listening to this going, yeah, these two dudes, these two old men, they're now so old and senile that they don't realize they've been telling the same story. We're just sitting around the home, Andy, in our matching home jerseys, telling the same story over and over. But that's because the story hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. And eventually that moment is coming. And I really do believe, again, with the train leaving the station and accelerating away, the next QE program is going to take the federal debt here in the U.S. from $30 trillion to $40 trillion or $45. The Fed balance sheet is going to go from $9 trillion to, say, $15 trillion, probably by the time of the next election in 2024. And there's going to be a rush once again for all things precious metal, including the futures contracts. And that will build on itself. And the short squeezing that started yesterday is going to get worse. And then they're going to be shifting all of the long side. And then are the normal, you know, the banks have traditionally taken the short side. Are they going to take it as aggressively this time? I mean, what are the BRIC countries going to do? What are Russia and China, you know, and all these other, man, there are so many reasons why you should be accumulating precious metal at $17 or $18 silver and $1,700 gold, not throwing up your hands and giving up. Man, that's the last thing you should do.
And you just put, just as we finish up here, you just put into my mind that this, you described that beautiful story of the train leaving the station, getting faster and faster and faster. I can just see our team putting together a little video.
Like the World War II, you know, where like the guy's hanging out the window, waving at the chick, and she's trying to run faster and faster.
Going like Tom and Jerry. It's like...
yeah. Well, absolutely. You've got a brilliant team there, so I'm sure they can come up with something, and maybe we can get that to 1 million views too.
You've been so generous with your time. I want you to tell everyone, where can they find you? I know that most people know you, but this goes out to a wide audience. So where can they find you and what can they do to get involved with you?
Well, if you can see the sign behind me at TF Metals Report since 2010, it's aging me quickly, just like it's aging you too. We've been doing it now for a dozen years. It's not free. It's a whopping $15 a month. But I think the information, I put out a lot of stuff every day. I post the morning and a podcast in the afternoon. But even more importantly, it gives you access to the whole community. Because now, this is, you know, we talk about, you know, the fourth turning, you know, and all this other civil unrest and social unrest. You've got to have a community. You got to know your neighbors, you know, physically. You got to, you know, so people can band together. Well, you need an internet community. You need a wide range of people helping you see yourself through the storm. That's really what the site is. It's a community of people helping each other, kind of posting links, posting, you know, thoughts on news of the day and stuff like that. And so really, that's the value of the site. I guess I can add some analysis every day, and I do, but it's a part of that community that helps. And Kinesis, I'm thrilled to partner with Kinesis. They're an advertiser or sponsor or whatever you want to call it on the site, and send people there all the time because you and Tom of Tom Coughlin, the head of Kinesis. I mean, you guys, 4 years ago maybe we started talking about this, doing podcasts on my site.
True.
So I'm a big advocate of what you all do, and I'm just so thrilled to see the acceptance of Kinesis growing really day by day, because again, it's just another platform that helps us extract metal from the banker's hands and put additional stress on the system. And one day, you know, it's like the Jenga tower, you know, one day it'll just take one little extra little bit of stress that then collapses the whole thing. Like the guy, remember the Monty Python, Meaning of Life movie guy at the very beginning, the big, gigantic, fat guy, and the guy comes in and says, just one waff of thin mint. Right? Just one waff of thin mint. And he goes, and he eats it, and he, boom. It was just a waff of thin mint was all it took, Andy. And that's what's going to happen here, too. Maybe that clip can be worked in, too. I suppose I just gave your guys another idea, but that's what'll happen. And it's that little spark, like the spark that set off the short covering on Wednesday. It's that one little added bit of weight that then just, you know, again, a house of cards, whatever you want to do, it just starts the whole thing to collapse. And that's what we're waiting for. It'll be calamitous, but it's going to be calamitous whether you own silver or not. So you might as well own some physical metal to protect yourself against when that happens.
And if they it could be that person watching this that takes that last ounce of silver and then bang, the whole thing goes nickel. As the power's with us, and I think it is, and that's the beauty of it. We can take responsibility for ourselves, and I think this is something why I'm so proud to be associated with you. That's what we're really saying to people: take responsibility for yourselves. Don't put your eggs in anyone else's basket. Just take responsibility. No one else can do this for you but yourself. You make your own decisions. Information is power. You can get it from you. You can get it from us. It is really what we're all about, is providing information to make. People can make their own choices then.
That's right. It's exactly right. And then, which is the way it should be. And so we just try to provide as much information as we can so that you can decide for yourself, you know, what it's going to be. And I'll just leave you with this. I don't know if you've ever had Brent Johnson on your show from Santiago Capital, but Brent's been a friend of mine for 7 or 8 years now. And he's a dollar milkshake guy, you know, thinks that the dollar liquidity is going to soak up all the other currencies. And who knows, maybe he'll be right. But his old line, because he's a big believer in gold and always has been, is that you can either believe in magic or you can believe in math. And if you believe in math, then you should own some gold. And that's, I don't know how much more succinctly I can put it.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. And so we're going to put a link to your website, Craig. And so people can find you there and they can sign up.
And dude, I got to have you back soon because I want to interview you. I want to talk to you, like I said.
I'm in. You know I am.
Well, and I've been emailing with Tom Coughlin too. Where he's just, he's been, he is the international man of Renaissance man. He's everywhere, traveling the world. He's so busy. But I need to have you guys back on to do an update too. But again, I just can't thank you enough for having me on. And I can't be more happy to be associated with you guys because, again, you're doing such a big part in bringing some truth to this pricing structure. And I just, it's just invaluable what you guys do.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you. And thank you for all you do.
My pleasure, Andy. Always good to see you, my friend.
Thank you so much, Andrew McGuire and Craig Hamke. I knew this would be another fascinating discussion. Now, don't forget to check out the movie that I told you about. It's called The Biggest Gold and Silver Swindle of All Time. You'll find it in the link below. and also tfmetalsreport.com. Just use the links below, and we want to hear from you, the Live from the Vault community, on who you'd love to see as a special guest on this show. And all you got to do to have your say is just follow the in the description below. Just head over to the Twitter account, reply to the tweet by tagging your dream Live from the Vault guest, and we'll keep a close eye on the results. And remember this, buy physical and understand the difference between what Andy affectionately calls the casino paper gold and silver markets and the actual physical gold and silver markets. They're not the same. Don't be fooled. And there you have it. That's all we have for you today on another episode of Live from the Vault. Please help us spread the word about this channel by hitting that like button, share this information, subscribe, and also hit the bell if you'd like to be notified in real time as each episode goes live. And with that, we'll see you next time right here on Live from the Vault. See you then.